So as I said, the next few weeks, we are going to be talking about ways that we can start off our new year to grow in our relationship with God, known to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And some of those things are things that we'll largely do as individuals, and that's okay. But there are also things that we do with others, that we do in community, because Jesus Christ came to build community. So I want to ask you to do something a little different. Everybody, take out a pencil. There should be one right in front of you in the pews, or maybe there's one in the offering pad, in the attendance pad. I will get the right word. I want you to write something down. Write it on your bulletin, or write it on a scrap of paper that you have, or something. I want you to write down a person who, being in relationship with them, helped you know the love of God more deeply. Might be someone who is from your family, might be a friend, might be a pastor, might be a Sunday school teacher, might be your neighbor who you pray with from time to time. But write down the name of someone who, being in relationship with them, has had an impact on your faith. And I'm going to do it too. And then I want you to hold that, because we're going to come back to that in a little bit, okay? Would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So in part because this is Human Relations Day, I thought it would be a good day for us to focus on relationships. Relationships. Healthy, deep, meaningful relationships. And unfortunately, in American English, too often when we say relationship, we just think romantic relationship, and that's not what I'm talking about. Or maybe a better way of putting it is that's not only what I'm talking about. I mean those deep, important relationships that enrich our lives. Times that we know that we are loved and that we love someone else. It is only through deep relationships that bridges are built, that boundaries are torn down, that people really get to know each other and live in community with each other. And being in relationship with people is part of following Jesus Christ. Now, there is a song that I heard a few times when I was a kid. I'm kind of sad that I did, actually. And it talked about me and my Jesus. But that's the thing. Jesus didn't just come for me. Yes, Jesus did come for me, but not only me. Jesus came for all of us, and if we look at what Jesus was calling us to be, it is calling us to be in relationship with God, but also in relationship with those around us. You cannot serve Jesus and not care about anyone else around you. And that's why I asked you to think of someone who, being in relationship with them, might have helped your faith in some way. God desired a relationship with human beings so deeply that in the form of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, God's Word took on flesh and came among us and lived alongside us and lived on our earth. God wanted a relationship so much with human beings that God, as a human being, lived with us. And if you look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, if you look at the witness of the Gospels about what Jesus did, there are, of course, many times that Jesus is speaking to large crowds, or has maybe almost like a chance encounter with someone that leads to them being healed. And that doesn't really give the opportunity for an in-depth relationship if you only meet somebody once. But if you look at the narrative, Jesus spent a lot of time in deep friendship with people, particularly the 12 apostles and those others who traveled with Jesus throughout much of his ministry. Jesus was friends with them. There was a deep relationship there, and it was in the midst of those relationships and that conversation that they were prepared to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Jesus used that time of friendship to grow them in faith. And you know what? Jesus still calls us to grow in faith in the forms of friendships and relationships. Now that turns us to our scripture passage for today, from the book of Acts. though I might make a mistake and call it the Gospel of Acts at least once today, but you know what, that makes sense. It's really just the second half of the Gospel of Luke, so why we don't call it a Gospel, I'm not sure. But the book of Acts is the story of, to a large extent, the first generation of people who were following Jesus who did not walk with the earthly Jesus. This is what I mean. If you read the book of Acts, the first event in the book of Acts basically is Jesus ascending into heaven. And Jesus promises his followers, I am going back into heaven, go to Jerusalem and wait for a gift from God. And so the disciples and the apostles and the other followers of Jesus return to the city of Jerusalem and they do wait. And then on the next holy day, the day of Pentecost, they receive a gift from God. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And through that gift, they are able to speak foreign languages they do not know. And through the ability to speak those languages, they are able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with 3,000 more people, we are told. Well, then that brings us to our passage for today, because our passage for today is, so to speak, the days and the weeks after Pentecost. And it describes how those early followers of Jesus Christ were living, and specifically how they were living in friendship and relationship with each other. All of the activities that they were engaging in was part of what they thought meant to follow Jesus. And they called themselves the followers of the way, because they were intentionally trying to live their lives in a new way. So what do we see in terms of fellowship and relationship and friendship in this passage? Well, first off, we see that they were paying attention to the teachings of the apostles. They had an advantage that we don't. They were able to talk one-on-one with people who had lived and walked and worked with Jesus for years. And all of those apostles, sadly, have now gone on to their rewards. But in some sense, we can continue to do this because from the apostles, they learned what it meant to follow Jesus. And through the records of the apostles, through the words of Scripture, we still have that opportunity to learn what it means to follow Jesus. But often we think of Bible study as, oh, I need to read my Bible by myself. And there is a time and a place for that, and we'll talk about that. But sometimes we also need to be looking at the Scriptures, trying to find out what the apostles taught and said about Jesus in community with each other. In Bible studies, maybe a formal Bible study, maybe an informal one, maybe just a conversation with somebody else about, hey, there's this passage, I don't know what it means, or I'm struggling, or it really inspired me, maybe it would inspire you. It's in community, it's in relationship, it's in friendship that the Holy Spirit works through us and sometimes helps us get something much deeper out of the Scriptures that helps us grow in faith. And the next part that we see in verse 42 of our reading for today was, and I'm going to use the translation of the Common English Bible, they, the early Christians, devoted themselves to the community. They lived alongside each other. To use a term that a lot of contemporary Christians did use, they did life together. The early Christians, as best as we can tell, were there with each other in the good times and the bad times. If somebody was sick, if someone broke a leg, they brought food, they helped a person, they helped their family. When something joyous happened, like the birth of a new child, they celebrated the birth of that baby. They did things to live with each other. And in fact, in many cases, we think they were living in the same houses and dwellings, day by day, being a family, whether or not they had any blood ties or not. So what would that look like in our modern world? What would it look like for us to do life together with people of all ages? Maybe go to the games or the plays or the concerts of the kids that are in our church. Maybe celebrate the good things that are happening in the lives of some people, or celebrating when somebody gets married or is able to retire. Maybe it means being there for each other when times are hard, sending a card when someone loses their mother. Just living with each other, loving each other, being in relationship with each other, and getting to know each other, sometimes as simply as just sitting down and having a cup of coffee or whatever your chosen beverage is, and talking and listening as much as you speak. And we're also told the first Christians broke bread together, and that probably has two meanings. First off, we think they took communion with each other, possibly a lot. maybe daily. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, seemed to think that they were probably taking communion very frequently, and he encouraged Christians to take communion as often as daily if they could. In communion, we are reminded of two things. We are first off reminded that so much did God love us through Jesus Christ, that as Jesus Christ says, I am willing to lay down my life for my friends. But also, we are reminded of something else. That we are all gifted an equal portion. As, and I'll see if I get this right, God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. God loves you. When we take communion, we are reminded that God loved us so much that God sent God's Son into danger for us. And we are also reminded that we are all loved equally. It's not like we all go to a restaurant and somebody can afford the full rack of ribs and someone else can only afford the grilled cheese sandwich and so that's what they eat. No, at communion, everyone gets the same portion because everyone is equally loved. We are all loved. We are all invited and welcome guests. And so the early Christians took communion frequently to remind themselves of Jesus' love. But when they say they were breaking bread together, it doesn't just mean communion. It also means they took their meals together. I don't know what it is about sitting around a table in fellowship with people, but that builds relationships. I am not aware of a single culture on earth. There may be one, but I don't know about it, where people don't sit down and have meals together. Now, they may sit around a table in chairs, or they may sit on the floor and have a meal together, but that doesn't really matter. The point is you gather for a meal. You talk to people. You listen to each other. How'd your day go? What did you learn in school today? Or maybe it's like when we're at work and you sit down in the break room with someone and you say, hey, how's your brother doing? How's that broken leg of his healing? Or what's going on in your life? It's those times for relationship building. And the early Christians ate their meals together every single day, showing God's love to each other. And finally, and lo and behold, we are still only on verse 42 of what we read today, because it's a really rich verse. The early Christians prayed as well. Now again, frequently we think of prayer as an individual thing, and there is certainly a time and a place for individual prayer with God, and we'll talk about that before this sermon series is over. But sometimes we need to pray with each other too. Have you ever had someone pray over you when you really, really needed it? First church that I served, there was a person who worked in the office staff, and she had a great gift for knowing when someone needed prayer. More than once, she came up to me and she said, Pastor, you really need someone to pray over you right now, don't you? And you know what? She was right. I did. And that was powerful for her simply to put a hand on my shoulder and to raise another hand in praise to God and to start praying and asking for God's blessing or guidance or wisdom for me. Praying with each other can be powerful, whether it's one-on-one or maybe in a group of some kind. But that, in those early Christian churches, in that first church of Jerusalem, so to speak, I can only imagine how often the followers of Jesus were praying for each other. All of this means that these folks were friends in Christ. I'm reading a great, great book on the stages of faith that many of us go with as part of my own personal faith development. And the authors of this book refer to each other as friend in Christ. Sadly, before the second edition of the book that I'm reading came out, one of the authors died, and the remaining author, she wrote about how hard it was to lose her friend in Christ, but what a deep and profound blessing it was to have a friendship that was grounded in the relationship that these two people had with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend's a great word. It's one of the best words in the English language, but friend in Christ. A friendship truly grounded in the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Doesn't that sound good? I mean really, really good. Healthy, profound, life-giving, building us up. A time when they help us grow in faith and we can help them grow in faith as well. I have been blessed to have some friends in Christ. I remember a husband and wife, how much they celebrated with me when I came home from Boston one time and said, "Hey, guess what? Megan and I got engaged," and they wanted to celebrate with us. And they said, "We got to go out now. We got to celebrate. We got to do something joyous." I wasn't expecting that, but boy, did that warm my heart. I have a friend and a mentor who was one of my campus ministers, and I still call her big sister, and she calls me little brother. And she was a profound influence on my faith when I was 19, but she's also been there for me in the years afterwards. Times that I was struggling in the dark times of faith when I didn't know where God was. The early Christians were friends in Christ. They lived out their faith in relationship with each other. Now, there's so much more in this passage. If you read the next few verses, it talks about so profound and deep were those relationships that the early Christians sold their property, sold their goods. They had a community pool that they used to provide for each other. One of the early Christians we hear a little bit later in the book of Acts was named Barnabas. He sold the farmland that he owned so that everyone in the church community would have enough to survive and to be able to live with health and dignity. Now, that's friendship. That's a sign of faith and generosity. But the last thing I want to turn our attention to is the final verse of chapter 2 in Acts. It's phrased like this: "Having the goodwill of all people," that is the early Christians, "and day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." What does that mean? So deep was the love that people had for each other that their love for each other was drawing more people into relationship with God. We're all looking for loving, healthy relationships. Now, we're not all wired the same way. Some people can have close friendships with lots and lots of people, and some people might only have a really deep friendship with two or three people. We're not all the same, and that's okay. But the point is, in relationship with each other, not only do we grow in our own faith, we demonstrate the love that God is offering, and our love for each other invites others into the faith. A very wise statement that I heard at a workshop some years ago put it this way: folks aren't looking for friendly churches. They're looking for a church where they can make friends. It's easy to be friendly. It's easy to hold a door open for someone. It's easy to say good morning to someone. And we should do these things. And these things are beneficial and positive. But more so, are we willing to be open to the fact that maybe someone else sitting in this room today could become or already is our friend in Christ, and that we can help them grow in Christ and they can help us? And do we have a place in our heart to maybe welcome a new friend in Christ, a guest who's worshiping with us for the first time today, or a guest who may come through that door next Sunday? It is from our love that we demonstrate how deep and profound is our faith in Jesus Christ. It's easy to talk about faith. It's harder to live it, but it's in living it that we often share it the best. Now, the good news here is that this is honestly one of the most loving congregations I've ever been part of. And that's a blessing. There's a great expression in one of the parts of the Methodist liturgy. It talks about going from strength to strength. This is already something that we are strong in. How can we ask God's guidance to be stronger yet in it? How can we become more deeply in love with each other, more deeply friends in Christ? And how can we then share that love with others and invite them to become friends in Christ as well? And that brings us back to that piece of paper I asked you to write something on. So get it out again. Get out that piece of paper and get out a pen or a pencil or whatever you've got to write on. Or if you need to, take out your phone and make a notation on your phone, on your iNotes or whatever. But I want to ask you to please write down a name of someone who you feel called to become a deeper and closer to as a possible friend in Christ. It might be someone within this congregation. It might be someone that you want to invite to become part of our congregation. But I want us to prayerfully take a moment, write a name down, and then let's close this time of our message in prayer. So please let us take a moment of silent prayer and see if God wants us to write a name down. Please join me in a spirit of prayer as we end our time of message today. God, we thank you for for calling us into relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, who calls his followers his friends. May we be more deeply friends in Christ, and may we invite others to be friends in Christ, to do life with them, so that we all might be blessed and we might all live out the calling you put on our hearts to the best of our abilities. May the Holy Spirit speak to us through our friendships, and may we all grow in love of God through Jesus Christ and in love of each other. Amen.